listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast, coming to you from the kitchen studios located high atop the historic Raleigh Building, located in the heart of downtown Raleigh. The NCF&B Podcast takes you behind the scenes of North Carolina's food and beverage industry. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NCFBPod. This episode is sponsored in part by Food Scene. That's foodseen.com. Providing professional photography, social media management, video production, and website design. That's Food Scene. And now, the sommeliers to the stars, the bar backs in your backyard, it is Max and Matt.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. I am your co-host, Max Trujillo.
And I am your co-host, Matthew Weiss. And here we are at our lovely downtown Raleigh studios. And with us in studio today, we have the host of another podcast called Weddings for Real. Here is the hostess with the mostest, Ms. Megan Gilligan.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, welcome. This is round number three for you and I.
That's right.
We have done three separate podcasts officially now.
We're on a roll. We're going to have to come up with more ideas from here.
Yeah. So frame of reference, of course. So yeah, we are in the cozy studios, the kitchen studios, downtown
Great
Raleigh.
Great view. I love the view here.
It's a cool view. We're overlooking a rainy afternoon off of Hargett Street. It's cold.
It's morning.
Yeah.
And it feels like, when I say afternoon?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm thinking. It is morning. And it's cold. It went from hot to cold like that.
Freezing.
Yeah. It's awesome, though. I love this sweater weather.
I basically canoed down here. Yep.
But so, Megan, we know you. Obviously, I was saying we did three different podcasts because both Felicia and I were on your podcast.
That's right.
Weddings for Real.
Which was great.
Which was fun because of back in the day when Felicia was a wedding photographer and I was sometimes a DJ.
Right. Yeah. DJ Squid 5000.
At Hotmail.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the Vivian Howard joke finally comes through.
Do you get it now?
Now I get it.
The only person that got
Jason said he heard it.
He tweeted it. He's like, I got that joke. No, yeah. That joke is for you, Jason.
Was it only for you?
Sweet.
And then of course we do, you were on the Holderness podcast.
Yeah. And we talked about weddings not being the best day of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like one of their most listened to episodes.
Man,
as well. I'm the producer, so I know all this stuff, the behind the scenes stuff.
I shared some stories on there that I was like, oh gosh, I don't know if I want past clients to hear these, but yeah, it went out there.
You were for real.
I was for real.
You also, the reason why you're here is because you also run a Southern Soiree.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing that now for
8 years.
8 years. Yeah. But prior to that, you were a catering manager. You worked at the Renaissance
right
across the street from Midtown Grill in North Hills, Raleigh.
That's right. I used to eat there all the time.
Yeah. That was before I was there.
Okay.
I think you were 2010
to 12.
It was
like 2008 to 2010.
Yeah. That was long before my time. So yeah. It was probably better then. But I'm just kidding. I went in and messed it all up. But so that was the conversation is you're a podcast host. If anyone's out there about to get married or so, they should check out Weddings for Real.
Yeah, thank
because
you.
Because you do this for a living, but you're also now telling everybody how to do this.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
I credit you for, kind of getting us started. I think Jason and I took you to lunch and you gave us some great advice and have helped guide us through the process.
I have not seen a dollar from any of this, though.
Neither have we.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm living in the fat house.
Oh, yeah.
I'm making huge amounts of money from podcasting.
All the checks have been written to Matt Weiss.
Yeah.
Directly.
Oh, is that the problem? You haven't seen anything?
Yeah, no.
I didn't share that with you. Damn. All right.
But in talking, having these great conversations, we're like, man, the wedding environment for food and beverage in itself should just be a podcast.
Yes.
We're like saying like just that. So that's why you're here. And we want to talk
weddings,
about food and all. Yeah, because we have buddies that have done a lot of catering pop-ups, like our good buddy Blake Gottlieb does pop-ups at Under the Yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Bohm at Snap Pea Underground
doesn't only
do the killer pop-ups, but he also caters.
We've done some weddings with Jacob.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are lucky bride and grooms there.
Like different experience. It's amazing.
Well, maybe let's just get into right there because I'd love to know. That would be really interesting because a lot of our listeners know Jacob and know Snappy. So maybe pull us behind the curtain a little bit. What was it like working with Jacob and what was that experience like? Because we only know it from this like super secret. No one can tell anybody what's happening until the night happens and then it's
this beautiful
reveal. Oh,
my gosh. Oh, the pop-up dinners. Yeah, which I've done that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've done two weddings with Jacob as a team at a Southern Soiree. And, I would say in my experience of working with caterers pretty regularly, it was totally different working with Jacob. So the menu process of coming up with what the clients want to serve, just sitting down and thinking about, one of the coolest things is that instead of going to a location to taste the food, he comes to your house and he cooks it for you for your menu tasting.
Really?
Yeah, that's isn't nice. That neat?
Yeah.
So just the thought and effort that goes into the planning, and I feel like he really digs deep into what the couple wants for the day. There's no packages. There's no choose, you know, the beef or the chicken. It's just significantly more personal and intimate.
Jacob never plays things inside the inside the book.
Yeah.
He has his own playbook.
Yeah.
It's changing. So I have a question because for me, I know when I got married, we you know, my wife works, I work, mm-hmm. both work full time, and it's like the idea of coordinating a wedding is daunting.
Yeah.
And also then, you know, not to take away from your business, but hiring a wedding coordinator separately from all that, it can be expensive.
Absolutely. We're considered a luxury item.
A luxury item, right? So we ended up going to like a one-stop shop place, you know, and Max was at our wedding. It was a lovely day. Mm-hmm. And
in Long Island.
Yeah.
And we're still married.
And we're still married. And I have to say, for me, and I think my wife would say the same thing, my wedding was one of the best days of my life. It was so much fun. And my wife and I both made a point of saying, let's really enjoy this day.
Yeah.
And because one, you know, knock on wood, it's never going to happen again.
Right.
And secondly, and this is the thing I tell people to appreciate, you're never going to have that concentration of people who care about you from all walks of life in the same room, in the same space at the same time. And so you really have to appreciate that.
No wonder why you love that wedding, because it was all about Matt Weiss.
And Sarah.
Center of attention.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sarah was there too. But no, it was all about Matt Weiss.
No, but that's the thing. It wasn't all about me. It was all about, like, the people that, like, you came out from L.A. You were living there. My buddy who lives in Jacksonville, Florida, was there, you know. So that's something to appreciate. But getting back to the food and beverage aspect of it, I remember we had talked about, oh, let's get food trucks and let's do this. And then, like, okay, well, sure, you can get food trucks and it'll be really cool and you'll have cool food, but then you got to get the plates, you got to get the glasses, you got to get the blah, 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 and you got to coordinate all the beverage and everything. And it's like, who the fuck has time to do that, you know? Right, you do. Yeah. And okay, so getting to my final point is, so the food there was pretty good. It was good for, you know, what they call wedding banquet food. You know, obviously they're putting out 100 to 200 meals or more at some point, but that was good. And then the beverage aspect, right? So we got full bar and an open bar, but then the wine, and I'm a wine guy, and I was like, well, this is the wine we're serving. And then another part, like, you could go through this whole coordination part, but then you had to pay extra money on top of that, on top of the money you're already spending.
Yeah.
So a friend suggested to me, they're like, listen, 95% or more of the people there don't really give a two shits about what you're serving. Mm-hmm. So just bring a couple of nice bottles of your own and you dole them out to, like, the people who really care about. So that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So my whole thing at the end of that
is there a question?
What's ranting?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of ranting.
This is like
but
Adam Carolla right now.
Well, you love Adam Carolla, so there you go. It's right up your alley. So, well, I guess, what do you suggest to those people? Or, like, I don't know how that exactly coordinates with your business, but what are some of the things that you can do to ease your tension on your wedding day and still have, like, a really good food and beverage options?
Sure. Yeah, I think I get that question now. So, I think something that I preach about often on my podcast is really focusing on, don't have a wedding just for the show. Don't have a wedding just because you feel like you need to do certain things certain ways because that's the way it's been done before. So focusing on you two as a couple and what's representative of you, everything from the location to the photography to the flowers. But when we're speaking about the food, you know, I tell couples, think about it. Like, when you're thinking between a plated meal where you're sitting down and having multiple courses to a buffet, to food stations, to family style, which is really popular right now for weddings. What speaks to you? Like, what would you have if people came over to your house for dinner?
Yeah.
Would you want a very formal meal? If not, then why are you wanting to do that for your wedding?
Such a good point.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you have to
because
a million weddings you went to before
were because your parents are saying that you have to
right.
or whatever that pressure is from the family outside. So sit down, make a list, and figure out, like, okay, what is our style? Do we want, like, a big, long table where we have all of our friends and family sitting there and we're passing around platters and it's creating that environment of communication and laughter and joy? Like, then let's do that.
Yeah.
And let's look at what that food should be for the day. Are you guys vegetarians? Then let's have a really awesome vegetarian meal and introduce that to people that might be anti-vegetarian because they don't know how good that food can be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking to Jacob Pony's Snap Pea Dinners, like,
yeah.
I'm a huge meat eater,
right.
But I will crush anything he makes. And
same
I think
thing.
You asked us on our podcast, like, if we had to do a wedding all over again, uh-huh. Like, how would you do it? And I said, I think I'd have Jacob cater it. Or I was like, no, I have too many friends in the business that I would end up just, like, doing, like, a food show. like booths all around. It'd be like my own Terra Vita. But
yeah.
It would just be like, yeah, I let everyone get in there and cook.
I love food stations for that.
Yeah.
For a wedding side of that, because you can showcase different, you know, cultures. You can showcase all sorts of different stuff with food stations.
Well, let me ask you about, Matt was talking about on the beverage side. Let's get into this. So I would do consulting for weddings, like as a somm or whatever. I'd do the order, but then, you know, you had to figure out how much to order and all the quantities and things like that. But then the price goes, you know, crazy if you do full bar.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion or your advice when someone's setting up the liquor for a wedding? Or setting up the beverage program?
Yeah.
How do you advise them? I'm steering you in a direction because I want this is the answer. This is the answer I'm looking for.
You're going to answer the question before
Don't provide liquor at your wedding. It's too expensive, and you don't need your uncles to be hammered.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
wine
liquor
and beer
does make
only.
You sloppy for sure.
Hmm.
But what if liquor is like part of what's important to you? Like the two of you as a couple at night, you pour a cocktail, and that's mm-hmm. part of your environment. Maybe you
that's my Leroy. He's a hard liquor.
But yeah, I mean, beer and wine is great too, and I think there's a lot of options there.
Yeah.
But yeah, liquor's part of the reason why I have crazy wedding stories that I can tell on my podcast.
Yeah. I still haven't, I don't think I've heard the story about the dead cat, best man.
Oh, yeah, dead cat.
You haven't said that on the show
no,
yet.
No, I'm saving that
You're
one.
Saving that.
Saving that
for your own podcast. How selfish.
It's a good one.
After you get married and you're ready to settle down and get a house.
Oh, what a great segue, Matt.
The next step is?
Yeah, buying a house, right? And if you're going to buy a house and you're in the restaurant industry, well, anybody could buy a house. But specifically to our people that like the food and beverage industry, that probably work in the food and beverage industry, you got to call Laura Harris. She is the restaurant industry preferred agent. She will help you either buy or sell your home, and she caters to the restaurant industry because she herself has had 17 years of restaurant experience. She gets it. She knows the tireless long hours that we all work. So she tries to do all the hard and dirty work for you so you don't have to get it, kill your entire Sunday or Monday, the only 2 days off that most people have in the business. But she also offers an incentive. If you work in the business and you close a house with her, she gives you $1,000 back, like she likes to call beer money.
Mm.
And I like to call my personal slush fund at your housewarming party that Matt and I will come and just drink and be the drunk uncles. So listeners, go to ncfbhomes.com to get all of our information. You can also reach her at 919-896-2697. That's 919-896-2697. Laura Harris, your preferred restaurant industry. Your restaurant industry preferred agent, powered by Fathom Realty.
Nice.
Ooh, so professional.
So professional.
But let's hear a horror story of super drunk people at your weddings.
You know what the worst part of liquor and people at a wedding is when we're ending the night with a sparkler exit, which is drunk people in fire.
Do you remember my nephew had to go to the emergency room? Because my nephew,
that's
we did the sparklers.
Did
we
he grab
got married
a sparkler
and he grabbed, he's like, oh, that looks fun. I want to touch that. You know, he's like, he was 8 years old at the time or something like that.
He was not drunk, but
he was not drunk. Well, who knows?
He and I were drinking in the corner.
Yeah, who knows what was going in those Shirley Temples and cash bar
or
open bar.
People get really crazy with fire when they've had a lot of alcohol, and I have to bring out my mom voice. I have 3 kids, 6 and under, but they get out there and they're like, woo, crazy with the fire. So got to break out the mom voice then.
Yeah.
But yeah, liquor creates some craziness at weddings.
Yeah.
Definitely have people passed out drunk on the lawn there from too much to drink. And
do you have bouncers on your roster for hiring for weddings?
I do. It's okay. Necessary security of some sort.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I would always, thinking about just the ordering of booze and all that at weddings, my favorite advice was always the 2.5 rule. It was like, that's how many drinks most people will go on average.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
so
it's the average drinks per person.
Average drinks per person would be 2.5, because my little spiel would be, for every Aunt Jenny that has a half a glass of wine, there's Uncle Larry that has 2 bottles of wine. But the 2.5 rule was pretty solid. And I mean, there are days at the end of a party that we ran where I was down to like a half a bottle of wine at the very end, but I did it.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect. And I looked at the guy, like the couple that bought the wine for me, and I said, "Hey, waste not, want not. You got exactly your money's worth." They're like, "Oh, cool."
Although I have had to cut Aunt Jenny off from her screwdrivers before at a wedding, where just fading her into just orange juice so she doesn't know that she's been cut off of the vodka.
Oh, jeez.
Well, and that's a good move.
Yeah.
So what are you noticing now just in weddings?
Yeah, like trend-wise?
Trends? Sure. Like what's been happening at this? Yeah, like
yeah, you know what's a really great trend that I'm excited about? I'm seeing more for like 2019. We're actually booking already for 2020. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Like, I already have 2020 weddings.
It makes sense, though.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Will you marry me in a couple of years?
I hear that so often. Like, oh, we just got engaged. Oh, cool. When's the wedding? Yeah, we're not going to get married for, like, 2 years or something like that.
Yeah. So one of the trends that I'm seeing is, like, smaller, more intimate weddings, 50 people or less.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool, because people are still putting in – like the details when it comes to the food that they're serving and the beverages that they're serving and the experience for the guests, but it's a little bit smaller, a little bit more intimate. So you're not inviting like work coworkers that you don't really care about or your dad's business partners. You're keeping it to just the people that are most meaningful to you.
Yeah.
So that's one of the trends that I'm seeing.
People just don't have that many friends anymore.
Because they're all attached to their phones, right?
Yeah. Well, I wonder, though, like, just thinking of weddings in general, I've heard the statistics that just weddings in general are going down in rate. Like, people aren't getting married as often.
Oh, because millennials are
They're like, I don't need to get married, bro.
Right.
You can't tame this wild beast.
I haven't seen that from my side of the business, but I think I'm seeing people wait later to get married.
Yeah. I would advise that too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
but as far as trends for regarding food and beverage, what cool food or
so
like
more
are people
like interactive displays are really cool. I have a wedding coming up in December
like
where
ice luges, like vodka shots from ice
luges. That's a thing for sure. All the
chocolate
time.
Fondue party.
No chocolate fondue.
Oh.
No, I'm seeing more. I have a wedding coming up in December where the chef is gonna have like this large farm table. And he's building out this like ornate vegetable display that's going to look like this work of art that guests will come up and keep like kind of picking from. And he'll be there sort of adding to it throughout the night. Just local fresh vegetables, just ridiculously, not your traditional crudité that you would have seen anywhere else before. I've done a ceviche bar, like a rolling
like
bar
that.
Cart where they're going around making ceviche on a salt block there. It's really cool. What else? Oh, late night snacks are still super important.
Yeah.
Had a couple, they recently did like little mini Philly cheesesteaks passed at the end of the night because that was the groom's favorite thing.
Sounds
so
awesome.
So that's the cool part is it's about the couple. Don't feel like you have to do something just because you've seen it done before. Go outside the box.
Now, what about, you know, the whole bridezilla thing, you like talking about like women that are like going crazy about it, and guys definitely could be the same way.
Groomzillas.
What about advice for people that are not in the business? Because like if Matt and I, if we got married, we would throw a badass wedding.
Of course.
Because we know how to party.
Yeah.
Or we know how to set up a party. We've done this before.
You also know great people that you would trust.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, but if, you know, Mike in the other room over here, if he throws a party, it's going to suck because he doesn't know anything about food and beverage.
Uh-huh.
So how do people figure out how to make a kick-ass party that don't know? Like they're basically throwing a pop-up dinner on a weekend with all their favorite people, but how do they make it good? Like,
how do they make it good?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's, it's the biggest challenge I always see is that people know nothing about the industry and they're like, yeah, I'm going to spend $15,000 to do this. And then it's just like buckshot, like wild, like doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's just like,
right. It's just they pick something at random, go with it. And
I guess the advice is to hire you or someone like
that's,
you.
That's the easy answer, of course. But I would say, and I, this ties to food and beverage as well as like the whole wedding planning experience is one, make purposeful decisions. So don't just go out and book a venue immediately because you're looking to have a date. Sit down and think about it. Like write down some words that describe how you want your guests to experience the day and what you want the day to feel like. And then do your research. Obviously, hiring a planner makes sense because I know, or any planner that is worth their salt and is legit, is going to know the different venues, is going to know great caterers, is going to know what you can actually afford. That's unfortunately something that I see a lot where a couple goes ahead and books a venue, but they can't afford anything else from there. So
yeah.
Then they're struggling to piece together all the other.
It's a components. Potluck here at the Barrington Village.
everyone bring your fruit salad. Big bacon.
Awesome.
I don't want to get too off topic though, because I want to get back to, we didn't touch on the on trend for beverage.
Oh yeah.
And is it still a thing to like have your signature cocktail or two?
Signature
is that
cocktails
still?
Are still big. I'm seeing like little mini pairings, which is cool.
Oh.
So where you're doing like past little cocktail shots, I guess, and then little mini beer, like beer and burger pairings is a really cool thing that we've done recently. That's a late night thing or a cocktail thing.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool. And then we've definitely got, I feel like my grooms love their like bourbon and whiskey bars. So we've had that set up as
that
well.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Are pigs in the blanket still a thing?
No.
No?
No.
I mean,
I haven't seen those dressed up in a way that makes them awesome yet. I'd like to see that though.
See,
you mean
I,
for like tray past hors d'oeuvre stuff?
Yeah. People say that, you know, it's not a party till the pigs in the blanket come out. I feel like there's a craft.
What people are you talking to?
Your dad says that.
No.
He also calls it a fin.
My brother and my sister-in-law say that.
the wife's family
people
says
say that.
I don't know, man. I don't see any pigs in a
pigs
blanket.
In a blanket.
Well, maybe
that's just a hot dog with a bun?
Like a puff pastry
or
kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like a really bad hot dog.
I don't know. People could come up with it.
Yeah.
Well, here, I have another great idea for a wedding.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So when you said interactive experiences,
yes.
I was like,
food
well, what? Oh, that would be fun too, but you'd have to come appropriately dressed. What's the attire? Food fight attire. So wear a raincoat. Wear a poncho. Yeah, poncho wedding.
We could get them branded with the logo of the wedding over there.
See, that would be cool.
That would be an awesome wedding.
That would be an awesome wedding. But another idea I had, and this will save you some money on entertainment,
mm-hmm.
rent out a Benihana or a Conky for a wedding, and then every table is like
that's
the chef.
Cool.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
I'm actually on board with that.
Yeah.
I took my daughter's for like a birthday party. It was Alexandra's 8th birthday party. She wanted to go there for her party, and we brought like 6 girls, 7 girls.
Yeah.
And I had the most fun. I think I had more fun than they did. It's like, this is so awesome. And it's just such gluttonous, like unhealthy food the whole time.
So
you're like,
full at that.
Yeah. I loved watching people next to me going like, yeah, can you smother that mayonnaise on these on the rice? I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be unhealthy.
No, I didn't do that. But I'm like, oh my God, that's a thing. People do that. They're like, oh,
mayonnaise
yeah. like,
on rice.
It was like creamy aioli.
Oh, like the white sauce?
Yeah. They're like pouring it all over.
The white sauce is amazing.
Yeah, but you're going to die.
Yeah, but if you only do it like once a year, it's fine.
Yeah.
I eat horribly, and even I wouldn't do that.
I can't call it mayonnaise because then I don't want to eat it. But if you're talking about the white sauce, it's ridiculous.
Is it like a Alabama?
It's basically mayonnaise.
Yeah,
it's basically mayo.
I think so, yeah.
When you call it an aioli. An Alabama white sauce,
it's the white sauce.
You're just trying to mask the Miracle Whip on your table.
Either way, you could eat healthier at that and provide healthier
but
options.
Yeah.
And it would be a cool entertainment thing. Yeah.
I like that.
Little known fact about the show, or about a former guest of the show, and this is a random fact that I'm just going to throw out there. One very famous chef who just opened up his second restaurant or third restaurant in Durham of Mike Lee fame.
I knew you were saying.
Worked at Conky in Crabtree Mall.
No way. I did not know that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So okay, and so beverage trends. Are you noticing anything about having like? Like batched
local.
Stuff?
Yeah,
or,
local for sure.
Yeah, because I know like when we do like pop-up bars, batching cocktails is really
We just did that
key.
For a wedding last month at the Merriman Wynn in downtown Raleigh. where the groom is really into cocktails. So we had some batch cocktails there for them, and it was awesome. I mean, a lot of people are still doing like the groom's, the bride's options there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's cool. Oh, so, and obviously we're a regional show. We talk about North Carolina. Is there any venue that is just like someplace that you have to go to?
I mean, there's a lot of really awesome places. I think it depends on the style. So if you want that more industrial vibe, have you been to Bay 7 in Durham? Have you guys been there?
No.
It's part of the Angus Barn, right?
Yeah. I love Bay 7. We actually do a ton at the Umstead too. One thing I really like about the Umstead is they let you do a tableside service. So this is not common where a guest sits down. You know, normally when you attend a wedding, if it's a plated meal, you are given, you get your RSVP card, you mark
chicken,
or chicken or whatever, fish, and you don't remember. 8 weeks later, you sit down and you're like, what did I order to eat here? Well, it's not easy to be able to do service for 150 to 200 people at one time and give them the choice of, but the Umstead does that, which is kind of cool. So guests can sit down and they're presented with a menu and they choose right then what they're going to eat.
I don't think people realize how difficult that type of coordination is.
When you're John Childers, that's not difficult at all.
John Childers can knock it out. Yeah, he is the banquet manager at the Umstead.
Yeah.
Or the banquet chef, I mean.
Right.
But even to that one, he and I were working together at Midtown. We had the 30 top room in the back. We spent, I don't know how many hours of my life I wasted trying to come up with Excel spreadsheet grid patterns to simplify our lives, to get the server to take the order in a quick enough time get it back to the chef. But I think we knocked it out. We had like an all day sheet, and then we had the runner sheet with the table numbers and all that and the different tables. So like I'd print out maps and I had diagrams of like what the room would look like. I created 7 floor plans that were possible in that room. And so then I had, through Adobe Illustrator, created the 7 floor plans to scale in the program. And then that way, if someone picked the captain's table, I'd just go, boom, captain's table, 16 top. This is the head. This is the one. This is the 16. Go there. We'll go in a clockwise fashion so the server could go in and all the coordination. I'd be like in the back while they're taking the order. And the second that they got the order finished, they'd hand it to me and I would do an all day sheet and give it to the chef. I'm like, oh, we need 7 Caesars, 4 mixed greens, this dressing on the side. No nuts on this one. We got a gluten free person over here. No croutons. But it was done. And the coordination that takes to make that happen is so chaotic.
I know.
That when it gets presented to you, in a fairly timely fashion, you don't realize these guys are amazing back there. How they do it?
They're busting their ass off back there. Yeah,
it's way more difficult.
Can I say
than
that on this show?
Fuck shit.
Oh. Nobody was listening. People tuned out about 10 seconds into Max diatribe.
Well, aren't you so glad that you are out of that sort of level of chaos, or do you miss it?
Oh no, I miss that. Like the heat of battle is always awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't like coding invoices and being at said restaurant for 17 hours.
Sure.
But oh no, from the hours of like 5:30 to 10 when it was go time and we had say 200 on the books, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved being on the floor and running around. That's why I would do that today if that was all I had to do.
Right.
You know, but that's still a challenge because that's not what you get to do. You have to do all the other things too.
Sure.
Well, and that's called being a bartender or server.
Yeah. And that's fun actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't like when people said, do you have Kendall Jackson, the
Vintners
Reserve?
Bro, I sold Kendall Jackson for 4 years. I can't go negative on that. They put food in my mouth and my kids' mouths. They paid doctor bills. So get your Vintners Reserve from Kendall Jackson.
You can also go to Food Lion and get that, you know?
Yeah, I know. And then there were like super secret deals that they would sell just to the grocery stores. And then I had to sell them at full price to restaurants.
Yeah.
Talk about a hard sell.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute. This costs more from wholesale from you than if I just went to Ralph's and bought it.
Man.
And paid tax.
Speaking of wine, I did a wedding this past June that was at the Angus Barn. And the mom wanted to – this one was a struggle, honestly, from the planning standpoint, because I felt like we were trying to fit a square peg in a round hole from every aspect of the planning. But – the mom wanted to bring in the special wine that she loved from Costco.
Okay. The Costco brand, the Kirkland brand.
Barefoot.
I don't remember what it was.
And Chateau Angus, Barefoot.
Angus Barton obviously is like, no, we have a lot of great wine that you can choose from. Like,
there's
no,
a guy named Hank Schutemaker.
I want to bring in this Costco wine, blah, blah, blah. I love it. And when the Angus Barton was like, fine, if you want to bring in your Costco wine, there's a $15 corkage fee per bottle. She's like, but
that's double the bottle.
Yeah.
You do realize that we're a business. Yeah. And,
So what did she end up doing? Did she end up bringing in paying the corkage fee?
She did not bring in her Costco wine. She finally went for the Angus Barton wine, which was good. And honestly, for that wedding as well, they wanted to bring in sushi to the Angus Barton.
Again, yes, fitting a square peg in a round hole.
And like, I tried,
you clearly don't want to be here.
Part of my job as a planner is to educate the client on, you know.
Yeah.
Great decisions and poor decisions. And I tried.
So they hired Mike Lee
to come over to Angus Barton and work with Scott,
sushi down for
Scott
a night.
James.
And work with Scott James, who are like really, really close friends. I'm sure they would have loved doing that.
But they brought in sushi for the cocktail hour and they were not super happy about the price for it because, I mean, the Angus Barton doesn't do sushi. So the Angus Barton had to bring in outside sushi for it. And that would be. You know,
I'm sure that marriage is going really well right now.
I talked about that on the Holderness podcast too.
That is a tell, right? If like if the planning itself is so chaotic, you know that's the way the relationship is going to go.
Yeah, if you can't get through that, and I say this with a disclaimer. Planning a wedding is stressful. If you're pulling in two different sides of families and friends and you're trying to please so many people, and it's easy to lose sight of the fact that the day is about these two people coming together. I've seen some really tense wedding planning sessions where I'm like, if you're not nice to each other, if you can't find a way to like find some common ground, make some compromises, and just at least be friendly, it's not a good sign.
No. You know, just thinking of like weddings and like our weddings, Matt alluded to his wedding and your wedding was really fun. Actually, you had good food, you had good wine. Like it was even for the commoners, like not the wine that you had for yourself. Everything was really nice. And I expected that from you because one, you got married later in life. Like you weren't a spring
30,
chicken.
35.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got married at 27. So
me too.
And that was, you were 27. So. Which is still fine. It's not like getting married at 22, which could be a challenge just because you don't know anything.
That's when the moms plan the wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But getting married at the age that I did, I'd always been in restaurants, but I really didn't know much about it. So like my wedding, there was nothing to write home about when it came to the food and when it came to, it was just like, okay, it was a caterer that we hired and it was just like boring stuff. Although we did it at Felicia's grandma's house and that is a beautiful estate in Brentwood, and that was cool, like just to have it at a home.
That is cool. I like home wedding.
Yeah, but basically, you would have expected much more out of the Trujillos getting married, considering we love food so much.
Yeah,
but we just didn't really understand it at the time.
Yeah, so. I get that. You know, we had good food at our wedding. So Jason and our first date was at Mira in North Hills. So
nice.
Didn't Mike Lee work at Mira?
No.
Oh, no.
Waraji.
No. I do love Waraji, too.
G owned Mira.
Yeah.
So our first date was there, so we had sushi from there at our wedding, which is cool because it was right next door. They provided it and brought it over to the Renaissance. You guys know Dean Thompson?
Of course.
He was the chef. At the Renaissance for our wedding back when we...
Dean was a badass. Well, he's still a badass. I haven't seen him in a while, but he would win like all the culinary competitions, like the Fire in the Triangle. He won like 2 years in a row.
I know.
And yeah, he's just awesome. Super organized.
Super organized. And like, super quiet too. Like he's very, you know...
Speaking of super organized, you had some bullet points that you came in here with. And I'm curious, before we get out of here, what you wanted to talk about.
Gosh, well, let's see. I talked about... you know what I didn't talk about was the service piece of it.
Yeah, so let's get into that.
That was just a quick thing.
We did talk a little bit about the Umstead coming to the side.
The service. Yeah. And that's the thing is that up-and-coming caterers that I wish was something that could be put more into the focus. So you can be a great chef. You can make really great food. But when it comes to the experience for the guests as well, outside the food, service is a big piece of it too.
Yeah.
The way that... they're interacting with the guests. If you do have that interactive piece and the servers that are there, Do you feel like that's an area? I do. I feel like it's an area of opportunity for some of these up-and-coming catering companies to maybe focus a little. They're focused on the food,
yeah,
but there should be a little bit more focus on the training of the staff side of things.
I think, of course, I think just even in restaurants,
uh-huh.
I think all the restaurants that we know and love and we talk so highly about are quietly some of the best service restaurants, but we don't talk about that. We talk about how great Scott Crawford is at Crawford & Son or how great Chidi Kumar is at Garland, but let's be honest, when you go into those restaurants, the servers there are ballers. They know exactly what needs to happen, and they're casual and comfortable, but you feel like you're taken care of.
Yeah.
So you need to translate that at a wedding. You need to have that comfortability.
Right.
It's so important. And as a front of the house manager for so long, like, I couldn't stress that if people aren't being taken care of with the service, it doesn't matter what food is coming out.
Exactly.
Because they're pissed.
Yeah. And I think that's a missing piece at a wedding. People aren't really focused on that.
Yeah.
You're having to, like you said, it's a pop-up restaurant at a location. And there's a lot of logistics that go into the prep and the timing.
And
the number of people that you're serving all at once. But not, I don't feel like caterers are really thinking I don't think they're really thinking as much about the service aspect of it.
Right. If you ever watch like Top Chef when they have restaurant wars, uh-huh. whoever the chef, of course they're all chefs and one of them has to kind of take the bullet and be the GM and not really cook, but like run the front of the house.
Right.
And you see these people that typically don't do this fail miserably, but every now and then there's somebody that's a chef that gets the front of the house and they do it right. And 99.9% of the time, the chef that wins that event is the one that knows how to run the front of the house. It didn't matter what the food was.
Right.
It was like, no, there was a calm the whole time. The host seated everyone properly. All the drinks were filled properly. Food was executed like in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, food's great, but food's food. In the end, I want an experience.
So speaking of an experience, I have one wedding horror story for you guys that I can share from a food standpoint.
Yeah.
Back when I was working for a local hotel, not the Renaissance, a different local hotel.
Of course.
I was the banquet operations manager, so I was there overseeing the setup and the breakdown and the day of logistics for the event. It was a Muslim wedding, and we had the male side of the ballroom and the female side of the ballroom, and it was separated.
So
you could only have male servers serving the male attendants and female servers serving the female.
Wow.
It was pretty particular, like the guidelines were laid out. But the meal was strangely not, I guess, authentic from the standpoint that they were serving chicken Florentine. Mm. So,
of course, very traditional Muslim recipe.
Exactly. So chicken Florentine is getting plated up in the back. And at this particular hotel, a lot of the things were pre-ordered products. Like I think it was a U.S. Foods item that was already prepped and heated up and served. This was early in my career.
Sounds like an awesome hotel.
It's great. So the meals are getting plated and served out to the guests, and guests are cutting into their chicken and they're eating it. And it's at this point where we determined that we have accidentally served chicken saltimbocca to like 10 of the guests. I don't know if you guys know where I'm going with this.
It has pork in it.
Pork.
Yeah.
That's pork to Muslims, which is pretty terrible.
It's pretty bad for their religion.
I think it condemns them to, it's bad. It's bad.
Right.
So at this point, now there's people crying in the ballroom and running to the bathroom, like making themselves vomit.
Oh my God.
It was my job as a 23-year-old to go into the ballroom on the microphone and apologize to all of the guests for this, experience of condemning them to hell. Because
I've just condemned you to hell. I'm really sorry about that, though.
Yeah,
on the happiest day of your daughter's life.
Yeah, and then we ended up having to refund like a ton of money from the hotel, and the general manager had to write an apology letter that went out to all of the guests. And researching it, what ended up happening was, I guess the staff shift had ended at, I should say where it's from, but
probably not.
Bleep that out. And they had been prepping chicken Florentine, and then when the next shift came on, they started making a whole other chicken product.
Oh my God.
So it was half and half. And it was only like 10 people in that particular box of whatever was being served. Yeah.
That's a good that way to get intense. Your career
how,
started.
Yeah. Yeah. How did your speech go over?
Not so
your
well. Apology? I think I blacked out while it was happening. I definitely went home and drank a bottle of wine myself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is no transition for this, but make sure when you're planning your wedding and you need to get wine for your wedding or beer or whatever, go to Triangle Wine Company, right? Shouldn't you do that, Matt?
Absolutely. Triangle Wine Company, I was thinking about that, actually. And also, when you get your rebate from Laura Harris, go spend that $1,000 at Triangle Wine Company.
Dude, dual sponsorship, double top. Yeah.
You will get so much. I mean, they have it all. Beer, cider, vermouths, wine, sparkling wine from all over the world.
Yeah.
They have three locations. They have a location in Cary right next to the Whole Foods. They have a location in Morrisville and in Southern Pines. As we keep touting, soon to be in Holly Springs.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happening. What's going on with that Holly Springs?
No, I drive by it every day, and there's a little bit building going on every day. Anyway, the guys from Triangle Wine Company, they know their stuff. They have a plethora of options for you, and at times they will even deliver. Plus, their website is awesome, and you can figure out what you want on their website, which is trianglewineco.com.
Yeah, and use the promo code NCFB, and you can save 10% off. And if you're buying wine for your party or your wedding, 10% is like
big deal.
At least $5 or $6. Like, that's a lot.
If you spend that $1,000 and you use the 10%, guess what? I'm not a great mathematician
or
anything.
It's at least $46 or something like that.
That's $100 back in your pocket after all.
Well, Megan, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was cool to get a different like side of the business that is so common to everyone, because we've all been to weddings and many of us have hosted our own weddings and probably didn't do that great of a job, unless you're like listening to this, you're like, no, my wedding was awesome.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
My wedding was pretty awesome.
I can now, I know. Because I played guitar at Matt's wedding.
Yes.
That is cool.
He did play guitar at my wedding.
That's pretty neat.
And his buddy Eric to learn a U2 song, because Matt, many people don't know this, is way obsessed with U2.
He knows about sex.
Was that like your first dance song?
Sarah came down the aisle.
Yeah,
to
All I Want Is You.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, and that
I
was
like
the processional song instead of having some old lame, you know, rote procession song.
It was cool, too, because I had never met Eric, his buddy that he knew in New York, but he got us connected. And so Eric and I would talk on the phone, and we did like Skype, and we talked about the songs. And like I learned the rhythm part, and Eric learned the lead part. And we did it, you know, whatever. But we did this bi-coastal from L.A. to New York.
Wow.
And then we met for the first time the day before the wedding. We're like, should we just practice the song? Yeah, sure, why not? And we just did it. And then that was it. We posted it up right next to the rabbi, which happened to be Sarah's father.
Yep.
And that was cool.
That is neat.
I learned Dode El – what is it? Dodi El Fayed is a person.
I think that's
was
the
married
that was,
to Princess Diana. Princess Diana.
The song is it's a Hebrew song.
No, you learned the Fiddler on the Roof song when it was. I can't remember.
You guys are totally sidetracked.
Yeah,
now.
I know. But I learned some songs and we played some cool.
Yeah, and that made it special. And two of my best buds played guitar at my wedding in
cool.
the processional.
I like
band.
That
was cool.
That's what makes the wedding.
So people can find you at Weddings for Real Podcast. You can Google it and iTunes it and
we
find it on everywhere.
Wedding vendors, mostly local for now, and tell crazy wedding stories. It's great for wedding vendors too. We give some insights and tips. And then A Southern Soiree is our wedding planning company, and we're based out of Raleigh, but we do weddings all over the state of North Carolina.
And you kill it there too.
Thanks.
Blake Gottlieb was like, dude, you guys, do you know who Megan is? She's like the queen of weddings.
Stop
bro.
It.
All right.
Seriously, she's awesome.
Boom. Queen of weddings. Yep. You've been dubbed.
Not after this podcast.
Google A Southern Soiree. Go listen to Weddings for Real Podcast. When you plan your wedding, you will eat and drink very merrily.
Yeah.
Forever.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B Podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes, and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.